Church. Thank you, Brandon. Thank you, Praise Band. What a way to open a service up, right, through song and praising and worshiping our Lord and Savior. So this morning, we're actually going to dive into a little bit on Luke 1, verses 26 through 38. Now, first and foremost, I want to say Happy New Year, right? One of the things that a lot of us around here, we like making New Year resolutions, right? We like to sit here and say, well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to work on this through the next year. I'm going to do this, and a lot of times it goes from whether it's losing weight to just getting in better health or to whatever it may be. It's something you're going to try to find a way to improve yourself through this next year. Now, the reason why I say this is through Luke 1, 26 to 38, we're going to look at Mary, and we're going to look at the faith of Mary. And everybody here is familiar with the story of the birth of Christ. Right, we're going to break this down. We're going to go verse by verse, take a look at it, and then we're going to actually go back and see the faith of Mary and how that can also challenge us for this coming new year to encourage us to help us grow in our faith by using her, the example that she gives of her faith in God. So let's go to the word of the Lord. Luke 1, I'm going to read it out loud. Luke 1, verse 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Let us pray. Father God, I just thank you once again just for allowing us to come here together, to hear your word, to learn from your word. And Father, I pray, Lord, that just through this sermon, that through this song, Father God, through the songs that have been sang today, Father, that we can put ourselves to the side and focus completely on you. And Father, I just pray that you just be with us, guide us, direct us, open our hearts to your word, Father, that you may be seen. We thank you, Lord, for this time, and I ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So as we look at this, we're going to go starting in verse 26. And it says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth." Verse 27, "To a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary." Now, we're referring to, right off the bat, it's talking about referring to Elizabeth's pregnancy. This is already the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. And Gabriel, an angel of God, made a visit. Right? He made a visit to whom? Mary. Okay? So now Gabriel means man of God. He was a messenger angel for God. And y'all realize that he has made other appearances in Scripture, right? Just shortly before Mary, he made a visit to somebody, Zechariah, right? In the temple. And what did he tell Zechariah? He told that you're going to have a child. You and Elizabeth are going to have a child. Yes, she is barren, but you will have a child. Anybody know the name of that child? John, right? And so he made another visit to Mary. And as we look through Scripture, we also see that Gabriel also made an appearance to Daniel, right? In Daniel 8, in Daniel 9. He made an appearance to Daniel in his vision. then also in person in chapter 9. Now, we look at this and we see that so Gabriel is news. He's bringing good news to Mary, who is betrothed to Joseph, right? As Josh has explained before a few weeks ago, betrothed. It's a legal binding agreement, a legal binding engagement to Joseph. And why is it important? Why I say it was Joseph was from the house of David? Because it's fulfilling prophecy. Right? Go to Jeremiah 23, 5 and 6, just real quick. It says, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch. And he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord is our righteousness." So why is it significant that Joseph is from the line of David? Because it's fulfilling the prophecy from Old Testament. What's saying the Messiah will come, the lineage of the Messiah. From the line of David, the Messiah will come. So that's why this is important. So it's fulfilling the prophecy, and as we're moving forward with this. So Gabriel played an important part, delivering good news to Mary, to Zechariah. Also, he was used for Daniel. And there's other instances in Scripture. It doesn't say it's Gabriel, but there's a thought it could be of him making visits to be a messenger for God. Verse 20, he says, "And he came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be." Now, as we look at this, "Greetings, O favored one is with the Lord." Now, how did Mary respond to this? She was troubled. For some reason, for me, we think about it here just for a second. A lot of us got kids. If you have any kids, you've had kids. Whenever you're a child, when you walk through the door, and the first thing they say, "Hey, Dad, can you do me a favor?" What kind of look does it usually have? No, for me, I love my daughter dearly. But every time I'm like, "Oh, okay." It's a little bit of, what exactly is you got me going on here? But this is kind of similar to what was going on with Mary. He said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." That is not a normal greeting. You think about how we greet people. "How are you doing today?" Shake a hand. "Doing well?" You have an angelic being that Mary has never seen show up and say, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." So there's three points I want to make here. First one is fear. Not the normal greeting. Especially from an angelic being that she's never seen, it's not the normal greeting. It's like, okay, what is going on? Concern. Point two, concern. Why was she favored? Do you not think she probably knew something was up? She was favored. And point three was wonder. What plan does God have for her? "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." Now think about this. She's standing there, and this angel just shows up. Gabriel shows up, gives a greeting that she's very concerned about. She doesn't know what this means. She's trying to figure this out. Yes, she's going to be troubled. But you notice what was said shortly after that. In verse 30, it says, "And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God.'" Verse 31, it says, "And behold, you will conceive your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." So shortly right after, she's troubled, trying to figure out what's going on, Gabriel reveals the plan. But right off the bat, he brings comfort. Do not be afraid. He's trying to comfort her. Now, let me ask you this. How often do we allow fear to stop us from seeking the Lord, or much less being obedient to the Lord? How often do we allow fear in our own life deter us from following God and His will for us? Now, it's interesting, Josh and I were talking about this not too long ago, and when God's calling you to do something and you're willing not to do it, it's usually going to get worse. Y'all realize that, right? It's not going to be a good, it's not good. God calls us to be, put our faith in Him and to live our lives in obedience to Him. So let me ask again. The angel says, do not be afraid. He gives comfort. And also you think about the greeting as is. What is the last part of the greeting? In verse 28, it says, the Lord is with you. Think of the comfort that we should have as believers, that the Lord is with us. So we should not be afraid. But many times we allow our fear to deter the direction that God is wanting us to go. Or it stops us from moving forward in the first place. Think about that. For your own life. For me. And I want you to understand, I'm not just talking about everybody else. I'm talking about me. Do we allow fear to stop us from being obedient to God? And I have to say, I would be willing to say all of us here at some point in time have questioned that. Or have had questions of, well, should I do this or not? Rather than putting our faith, well, you know, think about this. I know for pastors, and I'll point Josh on a point he knows very well. For a lot of pastors, when God calls us to another church, that may mean we have to uproot our whole family and go. It's not the most comfortable thing in the world, is it? But when God says go, we go. That's how we're supposed to treat it. Do not be afraid. God knows what's best for you. He wants you to be obedient for Him. He's already got a plan in play for you. He's just asking you to put the fear to the side and follow Him. So Gabriel's telling Mary to not be afraid. God is with you. Even though she's trying to figure this out, and I'm sure in her head she's trying to go like, all right, Lord, what is it that you have got planned? What is it that you want me to do? And what was it that He did? What was the plan that He revealed? It says, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call His name Jesus. Wow. Y'all must realize, Mary doesn't say age, but in that culture, betrothal process usually starts around 13 years old. So Mary was probably around the ages of 13 to 15 when all this was going on. So think about, look around. We got some younger teenagers in here. What do you think is probably going through her mind? Whoa. Okay. But so Gabriel revealed this plan of how Mary was going to be used, and he gave her comfort by saying, do not be afraid. But also, if you think, go back to verse 28, it says, the Lord is with you. That has not changed. If you're a believer and you put your faith in Jesus Christ, He is with you always. He sent the Holy Spirit for you. And He's just asking you to go. Matthew 28, Great Commission, 18 through 20. First word's what? Go. He didn't ask where. He didn't tell us where. He just said, go and put our faith in Him. And what did He say at the end of that? I will be with you to the end of the age. Even through the hard times that we question, when God calls us to go, He is not saying, think about it first, which we like to do. Well, this, I'm not comfortable doing that. I don't know. That just seems scary. But God's calling us to put our faith in Him. He will lead us through it, the hard times and the good. And this is the comfort He's putting in Mary through this. He's bringing her comfort, knowing that God is with her. It is His plan, and that she is, this is, you don't have a choice. This is what's going to happen. But know that I am with you. How accepting are you of God's will in your life? We say we put our trust and our faith in Him. What does that mean? Do you truly trust Him? Because the thing is, for a lot of us, and I question myself on this too at times, God may tell me exactly what He wants me to do, but there's times, I don't know, Lord, that seems awful difficult. There's times I lack in trust. And the thing is, it's not about us. It never has been. Y'all realize that? We all have our comfortable lives. We have our lives of things that we enjoy, which we've been blessed to be able to do. But guess what? It's not about comfort for us, but it's about obedience to God and following His plan. Verse 32 says, He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to Him the throne of His father David, and He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of His kingdom there will be no end. So a few things I want to point out. Number one, right off the bat, gives a description of who Christ will be, who Jesus is going to be. Number one, He is great. Does that sound familiar? Go back to John the Baptist, his birth, that He's going to be great. Earlier in Luke, Jesus is going to be greater, right? John the Baptist was brought into the world to what? Prepare the way for Christ. He will be the Son of the Most High, meaning He will be the Son of God. Y'all realize what that's saying? He is going to be the Son of God. The same God we say we put our faith and our trust in. The same God that we say we're going to follow and be obedient to. But this is God in flesh. He's going to be the Son of God. And He will reign on the earth and for all eternity. You think about this. Let's go over there real quick. On verse 32, and He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. I'm sorry, verse 31. 32. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give Him the throne of His father David. That means He'll be given the earthly throne in Jerusalem. He will reign over this world through the millennium. But then it goes on farther and moves on a little farther, and it says, and of His kingdom there will be no end. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of the end of His kingdom there will be no end. That means when He comes and He's reigning, earthly reign, then when the second Jerusalem comes, He'll reign for the end of time. How amazing is that going to be? That's how big of a deal. You think about Christmas. We just got through celebrating Christmas. We celebrate the birth of Christ. But let's face the reality of what it is. Do we truly celebrate the birth of Christ, or do we truly celebrate the worldly things that are put in front of us? Think about that. What's the world? What's the culture? What's this world tell us that we got to celebrate? We turn on a TV, just like mentioning yesterday, some kind of, had a Hallmark movie on. I was just sitting there just watching it. I'm not big on Hallmark, but I will sit down and watch one every now and then. But It talked about, they're in a church, there's a cross in the back of the church, and they're talking about the reason we celebrate Christmas, and Jesus was never mentioned one time. How often do you mention Jesus on Christmas Day? Think about that. You're talking about the birth of the Son of God, the one that will reign forever. Do we give him the credit that he deserves in our lives? Do we put our faith in him that he deserves? Do we trust him with our whole being in every aspect of our life, every minute of the day? Do we put our trust in Christ? And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" Now, so I want to point out something here to you. Zechariah, when he just earlier in Luke 1, was visited by Gabriel. And Gabriel gave him the good news that Elizabeth is going to bear a son, even though she is barren. And the interesting part with it, how did Zechariah answer? She's barren. No way. Putting it, paraphrasing in my own terms. That's kind of the way it was. It was in out of unbelief that this was going to happen. So what ended up happening to Zechariah? For his unbelief, he was made mute. Until when? John was born. Now look at this. Mary's questioning. Mary is questioning. How will this be since I am a virgin? Now something I want you to understand, and there was not a punishment for her unbelief, because why? It wasn't unbelief. It was belief. She wasn't questioning that God's plan. She was just curious on, all right, how's this going to happen? If it's going to happen, all right, I believe it's going to happen. How? I'm a virgin. I haven't been with anybody. How's this going to happen? So it was not the fact that as she was questioning, it's the fact that she was questioning, but the question was because she believed it was going to happen. She just wasn't sure how that was going to happen. She was trying to understand it. Now, Zechariah, when he questioned, it wasn't him trying to understand it. It was him going, no way. We've been barren for years. That can't happen. That's the difference between unbelief and belief. That's why there was not. So she was asking why and how this was going to happen, and behold, in 35, it gives an answer. And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." Can you imagine the weight on Mary's shoulders when she found this out? You're talking about a young teenager, more than likely, that all of a sudden is going to conceive a child by the Holy Spirit. Miracle, right? By the Holy Spirit. And she finds out this is going to be the Son of God. What kind of pressure is that? But yet, for a lot of us, we find pressures in many other things, don't we? Many other things that may are not as big a deal as that, including myself. I do it all the time. I worry about this or I worry about that. And at the same time, I've got to be able to see, God, I put my trust in you. Just show me. Father, bring me clarity till I can see you and not myself and not my own wants. It's hard to imagine Mary's face when all this was being told to her. I mean, I can imagine how I would think she would look. But man, what a responsibility she was given. And this is happening because of the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist was born, conceived normal. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. So guess what? Mary was a virgin when it started. She was a virgin during. And when Jesus was born, guess what? She was still a virgin. Prophecy fulfilled. God's plan is at work. It's playing out as we speak, as you see it through God's word. It's playing out exactly the way God said it. Verse 37. I'm sorry, go back to 36. My apology. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is a sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. You have Elizabeth, who is barren, that has now conceived a child. You have the Son of God, who is born of a virgin. And then, verse 37 says, for nothing will be impossible for God. Look what he's done. Two miracles right there. But too often we sit there and look in our own selves. Look at your own selves on this one. Too often we sit there and we don't put our trust in the Lord. We don't realize that there is nothing that God cannot do. It does not matter the hardship you're going through. It does not matter the frustrations or the way life is going is not how you planned. If you put your faith and trust in God, nothing is impossible for him. He will get you through it. You just got to rely on him. Have y'all seen something to this whole thing? Faith. Faith. Look at verse 38, and this is where I'll give you some special attention here on this. Verse 38. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. You have a teenager that gives a response like that. I got a teenager. I'm picking on her because she's over here. That's all right. I'll get it later. But how many of y'all have had teenagers? Guess what? I bet you they listen to you every time you say something. There's no question. Yes, ma'am, right? Yes, sir, right? No. See some smiles on his face. Y'all know it's true. But think of the faith of Mary to give this answer. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. She is completely submitting herself to God and his plan. Everything about it. She didn't say, I'm worried about it. She didn't say, I'm scared. She didn't say, I don't want to do this. It's hard. She said, I am the servant of the Lord. Y'all understand the difference between a servant and the Lord? A servant what? Serves, right? Lord is the master. And we call Jesus Lord. Is he really Lord over your life? Is he the master of your life? And are you the servant that he is calling you to be? Are you serving him in obedience to his will? Or are we too busy trying to be Lord over our own life? And we just go to God when we feel that we need to, or we're comfortable, when things are out of our control and we can't handle it no more. Mary here is giving everything. She's submitting to God. She's saying, this is your will. This is what's going to happen. This is your plan. I'm here to serve you wholeheartedly, put my complete faith and trust in you. Father, I'm here to be obedient to you. Now think about this. Believers, how do we grow in faith? If you're a believer today, this is all a struggle for all of us, right? We all have our moments of separation from God, where we think we can do it better, or it's not done the way I'm comfortable doing it. As a believer, have you submitted your life to God's plan? The interesting part, whenever y'all come forward, say, I put my full faith and trust in God, and you say, I'm going to follow Him, that's what that means. It means to fully submit to God and His will in every aspect of your life. Not just when things are going bad and you can't handle it. Through the good, the bad, all of it is to submitting to Christ. That's hard, isn't it? It is. It's tough. Because the world tells us different things. We like different things. We like comfort, right? But finding joy, you think about this. Go back to verse 28, and God will be with you. He will be there with you. Think about this. It's the same as I said before. He is with you no matter what. That should bring comfort in the fact that you can be submit your life to God and follow His plan, and He's got your back no matter where it is that He sends you. So it's three things I want to point out. How can you help yourself grow in faith? To grow and mature as a believer. Number one, quiet time in God's Word. How many of y'all value and prioritize quiet time every day with God and in His Word? Y'all realize right here is truth. God's Word is truth. Everything it says is true. What the world you hear, parents, I can't tell you. I cannot tell you the trust that teenagers today and kids today are putting in worldly cultural stuff. Are you putting your trust and faith in God's Word? Are you spending time with Him learning on what He's calling us to do? Do you prioritize God's Word in your life? Two, do you prioritize prayer? Do you truly spend time with God in prayer? I'm going to share a statistic with you from Barna. Several years ago, they did a study talking about the prayer life of Christians and the prayer lives of pastors. Y'all, on the average believer, in a week's time, you want to know how long the average believer spends time in prayer? Less than 5 minutes. The average believer spends less than 5 minutes in prayer a week. This one's even scarier, too. Pastors. The average pastor in this country spends roughly around 15 minutes in prayer a week. Now, let me ask you this. How many of y'all are surprised about this? That's what's scary. Nobody raised their hand. Do you value prayer? The direct line of communication with Christ Himself, and we do not take advantage of that. It's always open. And we're not taking advantage of that. As a believer, if you're going to grow and mature in your faith, you've got to spend time with God. Let me ask you this. The students have heard this before. I'm going to ask this. So everybody here got friends, right? You got friends, people you call friends, right? How'd you build that friendship? How'd they become your friend? You spend time with them. You got to know them. It's really no different than with God. You want to get to know God and build your faith and trust in Him, you got to spend time with Him. Prioritize time, your quiet time in God's Word, and prioritize your time in prayer. And lastly, get your feet moving. I can spend time in God's Word. I can spend time with God in prayer, but it's not meant to stand still. God never intended us to stand there and keep it to ourselves, right? We're called to go out, meaning that we've got to move. We are called to go make disciples, meaning we have to speak it to people, and we got to be an example of Christ to other people and how we live our lives. Have we all failed at it before? Yep. We're sinners, right? But God is still there. He is still with you. Do you prioritize those things? So here's my suggestion. We talk about resolutions at the beginning. I'm not a big resolution person. One, because I've never actually achieved one, I don't think. No, I'm pretty sure I haven't. But one thing I can say is this for resolutions. Instead of looking at physical, how we look, appearance, or what we need, what we have, health, we ever think about having a resolution for our spiritual welfare? Do you ever have a resolution to say, you know, I'm going to spend time with God? I want to grow. I want to learn to trust Him by seeking Him through His Word, by having amazing discussions with Him through prayer, and also to go start showing the world who Christ is by using our feet, getting out here and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with other people. What your resolutions look like? Do they just benefit you? Or will they benefit the whole world? Or both? Think about that. To the unbeliever, if there's somebody here and you don't have that relationship with Christ, what are you waiting on? He loves you. Gave His Son, put Him on the cross for you so that you can be forgiven of your sins. That doesn't matter your sin. You don't have to be cleaned up beforehand. It don't work that way. Jesus was that sacrifice for you. He's just asking for you to put your trust and faith in Him. Are you willing to do that? What are you waiting on? You're never going to be able to clean yourself up enough to suit God. That's why you come as you are. Christ died for you and your sins, all sins, past, present, and future. And He died for you as well. If you're not a believer, I pray that this morning, if not this morning, that sometime in the near future, that there's an introduction with Jesus like something you've never felt in your life. He is there, already there, waiting for you. He never left. At the same time, if you're going through some troubles, you got issues going on in your life you need to pray about, the altar's open. The altar's open. I'll be down front. Josh is going to come up front. We'd love to pray with you. Don't waste time. Because the fun part is, the interesting part with this is that one day, Christ is going to come back. We don't know what that day is. Don't waste time. Put your faith and trust in Christ. Let us pray. Father God, I thank You, Lord, once again, just for this morning. Father God, I thank You just for allowing us to come together as Your body, Father God, that You're coming together, Lord, to be around like-minded people, Father God, that we're here, more importantly, to learn more about You. Father, I pray, God, that for all of us here, Lord, God, that we prioritize You, that we set aside time to be in Your Word, that we prioritize time to be in prayer, and that we prioritize the time to live out what You call us to do. Father, I ask, Lord, that You just be with us today, be with our church, Father God. I pray, Lord, that everything that we do, everything that the events, the extracurricular activities, Father, that everything about this church, everything is that this community is seeing You. They're not seeing us, that we're out of the way, Father God, that it is Your love that they see. Father, I ask God that for everyone here, we're all sinners. We all screw up. We have all fallen short. We have all missed the mark. Father, I pray for us here, Lord, that you just help us to see that you're with us, that you got us. We put our faith and trust in you, Father God, that we can be cleansed of our sins through your Son, Jesus Christ, by putting our faith in him. And Father, I ask for those that do believe. Father God, I pray, Lord, that you put a fire back in the hearts of all believers, Father God, that they get out with your word. Father, that they've had the desire to spend more time with you each and every day. Not just on Sundays, but in between the Sundays, every day, God, that they're prioritizing time with you. And Father, I ask, Lord, give us the courage to live by faith. Give us the courage to put our complete trust and faith in you, just as Mary did when she says, I am your servant. You are the master. Father God, I pray, Lord, that if there's anything in our lives right now, Lord, that is an idol, Father God, that we are serving more than you, Father God, that we can put that to the side, Father, and that we serve you wholeheartedly with all of our being, Father. And I pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.